for life. I want to encourage others to be a voice for life. And I want to invite you to join the brightest audience in the country and to listen in to my shows and to our other shows that we put out from kgov.com. And yeah, just enjoy the show. By the way, to the listening audience, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel now. This is going up on YouTube, and you guys watching, you can subscribe now too. This will just be on the channel, the YouTube channel, Dominic Enyart, and we'll have that on the website. If we decide to put this on the Bob Enyart YouTube channel, we'll have a link to my channel in the description below. By the way, if you don't think that you qualify for being part of the brightest audience in the country, well, just stick around a bit. You will be fine. A quick note, however, I've been broadcasting for about a year now, and occasionally we do telethons. October this year is our telethon month, and we are... Greetings to the brightest audience in the country, and welcome to the Dominic Enyart Show. Today is our first ever video podcast, which is exciting. Now, this also means, it means I'm in trouble. I gotta start combing my hair for this thing now. But no, we're branching out into the world of video, and this is exciting, and hopefully that will bring a new audience with it. And since this new audience will likely not be familiar with our beliefs here at kgov.com, I thought this would be a great time to begin a series that I've been wanting to do for a long time now, a worldview series. What I believe, why I believe it, and why you should believe it too. And the world is a very confusing place, right? There's a lot going on, and there's a lot to make sense of. There's pain, suffering, happiness, joy, sorrow, rejoicing. There's politics, there's sports, there's friendships, there's marriage, there's brotherhood, there's consequences, there's rewards. There's so many things going on, and even then, I've just barely scratched the surface. And it's with all of this going on, it's very easy to get confused and make mistakes. And depending on how confused you are, your mistakes, they will either be small and insignificant, or they may be unquantifiably large. And these mistakes, they may hurt you, but something even more scary is that they may hurt those who you love. And though, of course, we are all human and we all make mistakes, I would like to try and avoid that as much as possible, because with mistakes comes pain and suffering. And with the world being a confusing place, right? There's billions and billions of inputs and outputs going off at every second. And so there is a lot of opportunity to go wrong, and it can be very tricky to get our bearings and to get our feet underneath us sometimes. And it can be very tricky to find an identity. I used to find my identity playing hockey. And hockey, you know, the Avalanche, they just won the Stanley Cup, and the Avalanche, they're my team. And so I was thrilled by that. But when you find your identity in trivial things like hockey or cars or work or whatever it might be, that is a recipe for failure. Because someday you will lose interest in hockey. Someday, you know, I know people who, if their sports team loses, their entire day will be ruined by that. It'll just absolutely crush them. And, you know, if you find your identity elsewhere in your car or something, you know, you'll crash your car one day, right? You'll get fired from that job, whatever it is. You have built your life on an identity. You've built your life on a weak foundation. And I think that if we, however, on the other hand, if we could, what we could do is we could build our lives and our identities on a set of unchanging principles. And if we do that, we may just be able to find a firm and solid identity. That would be ideal. We may just be able to form that firm foundation. And that is a foundation that we could build our lives on. If we find something that is unchanging and, you know, it's solid, it's sturdy. And then once we have that foundation, we can work onward and upward from there. But just like a child who's doing long division in math, if we get something wrong when we are constructing the foundation, and we mess something up early on, we are in for a world of hurt. There is no telling to the problems that we will make, right? If we build this foundation and it is not a rock solid foundation, then we are going to have a lot of problems, right? A single crack in that foundation, although it may not be initially noticed, 30 years down the line, right? When I'm 50, if I have a crack in my foundation, I've been building onto that foundation, adding pressure to it for the last 50 years. And that crack, which was once unnoticed, it will grow and grow and grow, and eventually everything will come tumbling down. And that is why it's so crucial that when we are building our foundation, our worldview foundation, especially as young guys like me, we have to be remarkably careful. Remarkably careful, because the smallest mistake, it could lead to such disastrous, you know, consequences, and we can't afford to make those mistakes. And so we have to formulate a worldview, and that is what this series is going to be all about. I would like to propose three rules for us to follow as we formulate this worldview. Rule number one, your worldview, it must be consistent with reality. And that is, I can't just imagine various things that I wish were true and then calculate my life based on those, right? I have to calculate based on things that are actually in the world. That is, right, this is supposed to be a worldview, a view of the world. And if your view of the world is not consistent with the world, then it's a bad worldview. And it will lead to confusion and hurt. And so rule number one, your worldview must be consistent with reality. Rule number two, your worldview must be consistent with itself. If you hold two different opposing beliefs, you are wrong. That's what that means. That's what that means when you hold two contradictory beliefs. That means that you are wrong. Two contradictory things cannot be true at the same time. That is not possible. It's an impossibility. Anyone who says otherwise is either a fool or they're trying to scam you. That's what's going on. And so with this rule number two, I say, let's not put up with such insanity. All right, rule number three, your worldview, it must be able to withstand scrutiny. And something my father taught me was that if you have an idea, and that idea can be destroyed in 8 seconds or less, then you need to choose a new idea. It's a bad idea. And there's a silly idea that is current, and people are saying that you can only believe that which your five senses tell you. And the follow-up question, when someone tells you that, the follow-up question is, well, which one of your five senses told you that? Was it your sense of taste? Was it your smell? Was it touching it and then you figured that out? Did you hear it? And, right, of course, that idea is ridiculous. It's self-refuting because it is reasoning, poor reasoning at that, but reasoning nonetheless, it is reasoning which brought you to that conclusion. And so this idea, it is destroyed in 8 seconds or less, so it violates rule number three. It's also self-contradictory, so it violates rule number two as well, but it is easily proven to be false, so your worldview must be defendable. And so now that we have that framework, it's time we begin to build our foundation, our worldview. But before I jump into that, a little bit about who I am. I am Dominic Enyart. My name is Dominic Enyart. I'm a Christian. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a radio talk show host, in that order specifically. I broadcast Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on KLTT Radio in Denver. And that's the good old-fashioned radio. You can find it just in your car. You don't need Bluetooth. You don't need any of that stuff. You just use that little knob, and you use that to dial in. And so the good old-fashioned radio. And as far as I know, I'm currently the youngest AM radio host in Denver. I know not of all time. I know there was one gal who was on the air. This was many, many years ago. And she began broadcasting on a regular basis at 16 years old. And so I don't hold the all-time Denver record, but I do think that right now, currently, I have the title. The station I broadcast from, KLTT Denver, is the mighty 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains. And AM 670 KLTT is the single most powerful Christian AM radio station in the country. I am a Christian, I'm a conservative, a theologian, an anti-abortion spokesman. I began speaking publicly at 19, and I'm looking to encourage my generation to fight for truth, for justice, and pretty much to fight for sanity at this point. I've appeared on Fox News. I have a history of testifying before Colorado legislators in support of the unborn at the state capitol. And my involvement with Colorado Right to Life, it has encouraged me to try to be a voice looking to raise $30,000 to keep us broadcasting for another year. If you at all can help, please consider going to kgov.com, clicking on the giant banner at the top of the site, kgov.com, that's kgov.com, and click on the banner at the top and support the show, not just my show, but also Bob Enyart Live, the broadcast classics. We have, you know, the Dominic Enyart Show. We have Theology Thursday. We have Real Science Radio on Fridays with Doug McBurney and Fred Williams. Those are always a ton of fun. And I'm going to get to the worldview stuff here in just a second, but I have to do a little bit of a sales pitch. An ad that we're running this month, we'll be running this all month long. We're running a lot of really cool offers right now, but the main thing I wanted to let you guys know about today is that we have a great deal going for our KGov subscriptions. We have a lot of subscriptions that we offer from our KGov store, and right now, for October only, we are offering any subscription, just $5 for 3 months. $5 that will cover you for 90 days. I told some of the staff here about that. I was thinking about running this deal, and they had asked me if I lost my mind, because that is slightly ridiculous. $5 for 3 months. That is the deal that we're running, and that's going to be here all month. So I recommend you check that out. This is a great way to both get your feet wet in some of KGov's content that's behind a paywall, and to support us and help us get to our telethon goal. I'll note that any product that you purchase during telethon month, that is applied towards our telethon goal. But if you sign up for a monthly product, like a monthly subscription or a monthly donation, we multiply that number by 10 towards our telethon goal. So that is a really great way to help us reach our telethon goal. All right, now back to the fun stuff, the worldview. We are building our worldview. And when we start to formulate a worldview, where do we begin? Well, we begin in the beginning. So we can start by taking a look around us. What do we see? When I look at the universe, I see a lot of stuff that is here on Earth and that I don't see when I look out at the universe, right? I see people. I see human beings. I see people who have relationships with one another, and I see these people having interactions with one another, and these interactions are nothing like any of the other interactions that I see anywhere else except with humans. Their interactions are very unique. They're very different. I also see animals, which I think animals are, they're pretty cool. I'm a fan of animals. And I see plants, and I see water, I see rock formations, I see life, right? I see movement. And there's a lot of that going on. And then as I look out at the universe, I see a lot of movement, but I don't see any of what we have here on Earth out there, right? I know there's some talk about aliens and whatnot. And maybe they're out there. I don't see them, but who knows? What I do see, though, is I see a lot of cold, empty space, and I see massive bodies occupying that space, right? There's planets, stars, moons, and these bodies that are occupying that space, they're flying all around us, and there are stars which are on fire, which is, it's pretty wild. There's just big balls of gas just on fire. That's pretty wild. And the word that comes to mind when I take all of this in and I look at it and I think about it, the word that comes to mind is glorious, right? Some may say beautiful or terrifying or, you know, whatever words they come up with. And those are perfectly reasonable. I'll go with glorious. And that brings up a very interesting question. The universe that we see around us, how did the universe get here? And if we are formulating a view of the world, a worldview, and we want to start at the beginning, that is a very good first question. How did the universe get here, right? And I plan on spending this entire show, maybe a few shows, trying to take a look at this question. And there are two answers to this question. Either the universe has always been here, or it was made by a creator. And thus, we are presented with our first choice. This is the first question that we must answer when building our foundation. And if we get this wrong, and we build upon this, there is no limit to the number of mistakes that we will make. And so even if you already have an opinion on this, you should stick around, and either your beliefs will be challenged, that's rule number three, or they will be strengthened. And so how did the universe get here? Either the universe has always been here, or it was made by a creator. That is the only choice. Either eternal God or eternal matter. And if you have faith that the universe has always been here, then your faith is in direct opposition to the most fundamental law of natural science. The universe, as we observed, it is in motion. It is constantly moving from, you know, planets which are orbiting suns to moons which are orbiting planets to the stars which are on fire. Everything is moving. There is a lot of movement. The universe is expanding. The universe is in motion, right? And only a fool believes in a perpetual motion machine. And how do we know this? How do we know that there are no perpetual motion machines? Well, the second law of thermodynamics, and that's a big fancy technical word, thermodynamics, but the second law of thermodynamics, it tells us that machines break down. Things wear down, right? If you have a truck, it will not run forever. You will have to get repairs, and eventually you're going to run the truck into the ground, and then it will have to be totaled. Things break down, and they wear out. Friction causes the loss of usable energy. Fires burn out eventually. Always. Fires will always burn out eventually once they expend their available fuel source. Scientists, they refer to this tendency as the unavoidable increase in entropy. And there's some more technicality for you. But entropy, what that is disorder within a system. And so the unavoidable increase in entropy, essentially that is the unavoidable increase in disorder. Disorder is going to increase, and that is unavoidable. right? Think about if you have logs in your fire pit, that is a very orderly source of energy. And you could use those logs to start a fire, and then you could be warmed by that fire. And that is a very good system. But let's say that your entire neighborhood, it burns down and your logs went with it. And now it's cold. That energy that was once found in your logs, it is now floating around your neighborhood in the form of ashes. At that point, you cannot recover those ashes and use the energy from them to keep you warm for the next 4 hours. It's not possible. You can't do it. That's because the entropy in your system has increased. The disorder in your system has increased. As the sun is burning, it is using up available energy. One day, the sun will burn out. The sun will grow cold and dark. And that is what scientists refer to as the unavoidable increase in entropy. It is unavoidable. Right? If little Tommy, if he were trying to pull Jane in a wagon and she's dragging her feet on the ground, she's causing extra unnecessary friction, and that will use up some of Tommy's energy, right? And you can see it right now, just in your head. Tommy, he's getting mad. He's like, "Hey, stop dragging your feet." And that's exactly what is happening in the universe. There is a lot of friction. The universe has a lot of friction, an unbelievable amount of friction, and right, there's a lot of movement, a lot of motion, many fires are burning, and the entire universe, it forms a gigantic machine, a machine that's operating. But if you have faith, if you have the faith and you reject the idea of a creator, then your faith has made the universe, and you believe that the universe has always been here. You have turned the universe itself into a perpetual motion machine. And your faith, it cannot be established by science. There is no experiment that can be performed to back your position. There is no way it can be proven by testing. There is no 500 milliliter round bottom beakers. There's no test tubes that you can use that will help you prove your faith. Your faith has forced you to believe that a fire can burn forever and never go out, to never have fuel added, but to burn regardless. That level of faith forces a person to reject the most fundamental law that science has to offer. Physicists describe the second law of thermodynamics as the most well-documented law in all of science. It has been tested, repeated, and documented 10,000 times 10,000 times over, and this law is never violated. To say that the universe has always been here, saying that is irrational, unscientific, and foolish. It violates rule number one. It does not match up with reality, and our worldview must be consistent with reality. The universe has not always existed. The belief and faith in eternal matter is a false belief. A better, more scientific teaching is that the universe had a beginning and is breaking down. It is wearing out. And I'm not the first person to say this, by the way. A lot of way more brilliant people than I have come to this conclusion long before I was even alive. And the earliest scientific explanation of this reality I could find comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, where it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are your work, are the work of your hands. They will perish," that is, the heavens will perish, "they will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same and you will not fail." And so this is evident. The universe is growing old. It's burning up. It's dying. It's perishing. right? It's ever so slowly, it is perishing. And just like how when you buy a new pair of clothes, right, at first they fit real nice, eventually you wear them a lot and they wear down. After, you know, so many years, you can't even use them anymore and you're going to have to throw them out. Things wear down. This is the unavoidable increase in entropy. And so, returning to our question, how did the universe get here? Either the universe has always been here, or it was made by a creator. I believe what we have discussed so far, while we haven't even remotely come near to Christianity, what we've discussed has sufficiently disproven the first option. The universe has not always been here. This is clear. And by using the process of elimination, we have two options. If we get rid of one of them, that leaves us with one other option, and we can conclude that the universe was made by a creator. Now, I understand that we are moving quickly. Perhaps by now, if you are an atheist who is watching this video, you are not convinced. Well, fear not, because we'll be discussing this in much more detail. I've noticed, though, that many are afraid of this question. If you ask it, people will get uncomfortable. And that's fascinating. They try to avoid the question. And often people, atheists especially, they will begin to say ridiculous things in hopes of not having to answer the question. Fortunately, however, this question persists. It can be delayed, but it cannot be abandoned. The question is inevitable. And so one response I've heard that many other have heard as well, when you ask this question, how did the universe get here, is people will say, well, you know, I don't actually even know if the universe exists. You know, I don't even know if I exist. Maybe I don't exist. And this might all just be an illusion. Perhaps truth itself doesn't exist. How can we know? And you would hope that's something that's uncommon to hear, but it's relatively common to hear things like that, because people, they feel uncomfortable with this question. And when they start saying things like that, what they are doing is they are throwing an intellectual temper tantrum. That's what's going on. They're like children throwing an intellectual temper tantrum. And that is how far some people will go to avoid running into a creator. They are terrified of it. We know this because that is not how rational people think. And right, like a child doing long division again, they haven't even started the problem and they are already way off the rails. And there is no end to the amount of mistakes that they will make. To quote a brilliant man, if you start with 0 + 0 = everything, there is no other mistake that you will not make. Now, this question, we can choose between eternal God and eternal matter. That's the choice. Eternal God or eternal matter. Basically, eternal dirt. And if we come from dirt, that's what our history is. And we're just a bunch of random particles bumping into each other. We're just a bunch of dirt. Then we can treat others like dirt. And when people are taught this, when kids are taught this, how do they treat other kids? How do they treat teachers or adults? Or, you know, if they're in trouble with the law, how do they treat police officers? How do they treat judges? Well, all too often, they treat them just like that, just like dirt, like dirt. And that's because, you know, hey, they've evolved from dirt, eternal dirt. Dirt is their ancestor. If the universe, on the other hand, was created, the universe including ourselves, was created by a creator, then that is not the case. Dirt is not our ancestor, but the creator is our ancestor. But a lot of people, they really dislike the thought of that, and they really want to get away from that, and they'll fight very hard to get away from that. When people say that the universe doesn't exist. One thing that they'll say is that matter does not exist. The physical does not exist. And that flows logically, right? If you're going to say the universe doesn't exist and the universe is made out of matter, you might as well might as well throw that out while you're at it. In fact, there's that cult Scientology, and a leader in that cult wrote a so-called health book. And in that health book, she wrote that there's no such thing as sickness. There's no such thing as sickness. And when you're sick, you're not actually really sick. You just think that you're sick. That's what she wrote. And so she just says, if you get sick, you just have to believe that you're not sick anymore. And then voila, you'll be healed. And you were never sick in the first place. And so she wrote that. And her son was a follower. Her son was involved in Scientology as well. And he got sick. And oh, what do you know? He's not actually sick. And so because he wasn't actually sick, she didn't get him the medication she needed. And then she thought that he did not die. But he did die. He died in her home. And finally, when she stunk enough, the neighbors, they could not take it anymore, and they called the police, and the police removed the body that was not dead from the illness that did not exist. People will reject matter, and they will reject anything that may link them to a creator. Because the creator of everything is the source of everything, many men are willing to doubt everything and believe nothing. Nothing is real. That is what they will do to avoid running into a creator. Of course, this insanity is pretty easily disproven just with logic. I think, therefore I am. I used reason to conclude that I am. Therefore, reason exists. Reason exists, therefore order exists. Order exists, therefore truth exists. I exist, I am, therefore I exist. I exist, therefore I exist within a reality. Therefore, reality itself exists. As I exist in reality, I experience emotion. As I experience emotion, I have a personality. The law of cause and effect states that a result cannot be greater than its cause. The cause of my existence in reality must be greater than I. The cause of my existence must have a personality for myself being a result. I cannot be greater than my cause. I have a creator who is personal. Something had to be the first cause. If there were no first cause, there would be nothing. But there is something, and therefore there was something. There was a first cause. And that first cause must have been an uncaused cause, right? You have cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. The first cause must have been an uncaused cause. It's like dominoes, but you can't go all the way back. You can't have turtles all the way down. They can't go back forever. That's impossible. It's irrational. There must have been an initial cause, an unmoved mover, and that cause, the word that we have for that cause, is the creator or God. And that brings us to a question about the creator, about God. How did God get here? Well, to say that the creator was himself created, that doesn't really help anything, because then he wouldn't actually be the creator, but whatever created him would be the creator. And so that doesn't actually solve any problems to say that God was created. That just pushes it back a layer. And really, it's silly to say that the creator was created. The original creator is the true creator. In reality, the creator has always existed. Remove the impossible, and all that is left is possible. The original uncaused cause is the creator, and that uncaused cause is eternal. My personal creator is eternal. Of course, there is the objection that, oh, you're saying that science shows that we can't have a perpetual motion machine, yet you are turning God into a perpetual motion machine. This objection, it completely misses the point. The scientific laws of nature. Who wrote those laws? No, really, who wrote those laws? Who created nature for these laws to be applicable? The creator. The creator of scientific law, of course, would not himself be subject to those laws before he made them. This is obvious. This is self-evident. Just with reasoning and logic alone, we face the question. We face this inevitable question. So regardless of all the intellectual temper tantrums, right, they may delay us as we get to the question, but the question is inevitable. How did the universe get here? It doesn't matter if you can't trust your own lying eyes. It doesn't matter if you think that we are in an illusion. You exist. Reality exists. Truth exists. How did it get here? This question is inevitable. You cannot escape this question. And the answer to the question is, it's very clear. Now, I won't muddy the waters as many do and try to pretend that the universe is an illusion in some way. The answer is clear. The universe was created by a powerful, eternal, personal creator. You cannot get away from that. No matter how hard you fight, no matter how much you try to twist the truth, no matter what you do, that reality is staring you in the face. And that needs to be incorporated into your worldview. Now, even with all of this, some will still deny the existence of God, and that's tragic. But luckily, I'm not going to give up on them. We'll discuss the existence of God in another show. But for today, I am out of time. And so tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, for the continuation of our worldview series. But I'll leave you guys with this. God, the creator, he exists and is the only rational, scientific explanation for what we see in the world today. I want to remind you guys that we are in our telethon month. We are looking to raise $30,000 to help keep us around. Right now, we're at $500. We got a Douglas K from Aurora. Thank you for your support. And I know this name, Douglas K. I've seen this name a gazillion times. So, Doug, thank you and for your support. And this note, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. And also, Bart B from Columbus, Indiana. Wow, another longtime listener. Thank you, Bart. That is extremely humbling. If you at all can help with the telethon, go to kgov.com, kgov.com, and click on the banner at the top of the site. That will take you to the telethon section of our store where we have some of our best deals, our best products, and you can browse our entire store. You can click on the shop button at the top. You can browse by category there, or you can click on the Bob and Yurt Live logo, and that will take you to our homepage, where you can look at some of our most popular products. You can look at some of our featured products or newest products. And any purchase that you make will be applied towards our telethon. Of course, donations will be applied to the telethon. I'll note that any monthly support, like a subscription or a monthly donation, that number will be multiplied by 10, and that will go to our telethon goal. I highly recommend one book that we sell. It's a debate. Does God exist? If you like this kind of conversation, you would really like the debate, Does God Exist, between Pastor Bob Enyart and a popular atheist by the name of Zaketh. And never before in a debate have I ever seen a plot twist. I've never seen a debate that has a plot, like a storyline before, but this debate, Does God Exist, Pastor Bob Enyart versus Zaketh, it has a storyline, and at the end of the story, about maybe 80% of the way through, there is a plot twist. And I've never seen a debate before with a plot twist. And so, highly recommend checking out that book, Does God Exist? And so, If you at all can help us reach our $30,000 goal, that would go such a long way to helping us stay on air. I will see you guys tomorrow. Until then, this is Dominic Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.